That. Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in Jeff Chapman, former BYU great, a guy that's in great shape right now. He's going to break down all the positives and negatives with this BYU basketball team right now. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing marvelous. We're in Utah Valley right now, and we actually have some pretty darn good weather this last week, including today. So it's not too bad. Where are you at, Jeff?
I'm in Portland, Oregon at one of my businesses, so I'm sitting here at the office just working my way.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I'm looking at your stats, Jeff. I always like to look and see what these former players were able to accomplish. In your senior year, not only did you have a tremendous team, but also you had some really nice individual performances, almost 20 points and 8 rebounds a game. What would it be like for this BYU basketball team to have a big right now that was averaging those type of statistics?
Well, that would be nice. As we all know, that's one of the weaknesses of the team is their bigs as far as experience. The numbers you're looking at was my senior year. If you look back at my freshman and sophomore years, my numbers weren't that good. And that's what our bigs are. You know, Worthington's a sophomore. Kafusi is a freshman. And, you know, he didn't even play basketball his senior year of high school, went on a mission. And then you have Nixon playing the four. He's a freshman. You have Andres, who has really come on lately. He's a freshman. And then the senior is hurt with Austin. And then a guy that we were really depending on to come and give us that guy we can throw it into and score, Jamal Ates, is hurt as well. So that's the situation we have. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, the guys are still trying to work their way through it.
Jeff, you saw a new starting lineup versus LMU. With Josh Sharp. He didn't produce a whole lot on the offensive end other than those four sweet offensive rebounds. But he started alongside, you know, Chase Fisher, Tyler Hawes, Kyle Collinsworth, and Corbin Kafusi. Did you like that lineup?
I did for LMU. I think it was very smart for them to do that. One of the things the team was lacking was energy, and Josh brought that to the team. As you just said, you know, offensive rebounds especially is all about energy and really working hard trying to do that. And with Josh doing that, that was contagious. And that's what a senior can do for you. You know, they've been there. They've done that. I was very impressed with Josh. You know, he could have moped his head. He could have held his head down, but he didn't. He came out. He got the minutes. He did what he was supposed to do to provide energy. There's other scorers on the team. He knew he didn't have to do that, but he brought the energy we needed, and we really needed that win badly at LMU.
Do you think that was just a quick fix for the LMU game, or do you think we'll see more of that going forward?
Well, Coach Rhodes, he, you know, has a good feel for the game, and the reason he does is because he played, and he played at a high level, playing at Houston with Phi Slamajama. So he's going to go with a feel. And he's one of the most competitive guys you'll ever meet. So he's going to put the lineup that he feels is going to be best to have the right matchup to win. So I think they're not done. I think that lineup is going to be tweaked per game until they can settle in on one that's going to be consistently helping them win.
Those two Pepperdine losses are the the big marks on the schedule right now. And as you evaluated those two games, what did you come away thinking about the team and what they could have done better in those games?
Well, the first game, in my opinion, I think they were kind of surprised. They were playing at home, and Pepperdine just came out really physical. And I don't think we were ready for that. And we just it just ended up being a game that we weren't able to hit shots that we usually hit at home, and Pepperdine was able to win that game. The second game, I think we had a great game plan. The first half, we came out, we went to a zone, and that really hurt Pepperdine, and we were hitting shots, we were flying around, we were defending, we were rotating. We're boxing out. We had a really great game the second half. I mean, the first half. But the second half, I think the officials kind of got into that game. I don't want to blame the game on the officials. Mm-hmm. But the officials made some horrible calls, and we didn't respond well to it. And we got down, and then we kind of just could not get over that hump. And then Pepperdine got some life. Their best player, Stacey Davis, got going, and we just couldn't get over the hump after that.
How much do you think injuries affected that game? I know that Coach Rose kind of tried to dispel that, and like any good coach does, but being a guy from watching that from the outside and having the injuries that came right before that game, I think in particular the Anson Winder one really hurt him. But how much did it affect that game?
A competitor just does not make excuses no matter what. I think it did have an effect on the game, though. Anson is very critical to this team, and he is not 100%. And without having Chase in that game really hurt, too. When you have guys that, you know, put up a lot of minutes, and then you have to depend on other guys to increase their minutes, their roles change, it can have an effect on the game. We still should have beat them with what we had, but unfortunately, the injuries are part of the game, and it did have an effect.
I've been impressed by Skylar Halford the last few games. It seems like his shots coming around. He's a little bit more under control. That's really my only knock on him offensively is when he gets out of control and tries to force things, but he's always a high-energy guy. Right now, what are your thoughts on Skylar Halford increasing his minutes as we come down the stretch?
I'm very pleased because, like we just mentioned, Anson being injured and then what happened to Chase, the only guy we really could turn to for that energy was Skylar, and he answered the bell. He has done exactly what Coach Rose wants him to do, and that's provide energy. He's making the shots. He's providing defense. He's providing leadership, and he's had a great stretch. I know when you're a senior and when January comes along, especially February, you start to realize that this thing is almost over. And it was great to see Skylar and Josh, those seniors, really play with a lot of energy and provide help for this team. And Skylar is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and he wants to win bad. So I'm really happy for him.
You mentioned right off the bat of this interview that there's a lot of youth amongst the bigs, the fours and the fives. What do you attribute the gap to and the lack of depth in that particular position as far as seniority is concerned, only having one senior, Nate Austin, and then really not a whole lot of no juniors, and then you're relying on some freshmen and sophomores. What do you attribute the gap to?
Well, you know, that's what happens, especially at BYU. People don't realize how hard it is for the teams to juggle their lineups every year with missions. Mika leaving, we knew that was going to hurt. And so that's why Jamal Ates, him leaving UNLV, was really huge for us. And then having a senior of Nate Austin, he's not a big-time scorer, but he's a big-time leader and a big-time rebounder. And he does a lot of things on the defensive ends that people who don't watch a lot of basketball study it don't realize he does. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet. So those are the two guys that Coach Rose was depending on. And when you lose those two guys, the gap looks even bigger. But the good thing is it's not going to be a gap for long. We're going to get Eights back healthy. Next year we'll have Cal Davis. Cougar fans are going to love Cal Davis. I've watched mm-hmm. him in practice, and he's tearing people up. I mean, that guy can play. And then eventually we'll get Mika back, and then we got another big with Dastrup coming back. And then the cupboard will be full again.
Looking ahead with this BYU team, you look at that roster. We've talked a lot about the bigs and the problems there, and I feel like that the margin for error for this team is very small. They can't make a whole lot of mistakes. But as you look at this BYU team going forward, what are the things that they have to do to win basketball games and to be successful against St. Mary's on Thursday, and just in particular the run through February and hopefully into March?
Well, first thing they have to do is they have to play a 40-minute game. I agree with you 100%, Ben, that there is no margin for error. So they have to play a 40-minute game. I mean, they have to have energy at the beginning of the game, at the middle of the game, and at the end of the game. And it starts on the defensive end. They need to decide that, you know, we're going to go all out on defense and rebounding. And so we won't be put in a situation where we have to hit a shot at the end of the game to win it. We can have a nice 6 to 10 point cushion in the game, so we can coast through a win and not have to grind one out. You know, offense is not our problem. It's defense and rebounding that we have a lot of slippage in and a lot of breakdowns in. So that is going to be critical for them ending the season on a good note.
Jeff Chapman, former BYU basketball great, on with us here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. 5 triple-doubles from Kyle Collinsworth. He's in the record books, and he's going to increase his popularity, because I think he's going to put up maybe one or maybe even two more. This is ridiculous. Any other player around the country from one of the power conferences, we'll say, would be in the conversation for, I believe, player of the year with those type of statistics. Why isn't Kyle Collinsworth getting his due?
It's simply because they have lost some games. If BYU had, in fact, the biggest loss was 7 points to Gonzaga. If BYU had only lost like one or two games and are playing like Utah with very few losses, both Haas and Collinsworth would be talked about daily for players of the year. But when you lose games and you're not picked to be in the NCAA tournament, unfortunately, that's what happens. And it's very unfortunate, because Kyle is having an MVP all-star year. But, you know, that's fine. He's not going to get any national pub, but we all know how great he is, and he's doing a fantastic job for us.
So I guess one of the things, again, you probably get asked this a lot when it comes to BYU, but we all wonder, is there a shot for this BYU team to make a run and actually get into the NCAA tournament? Because traditionally, you look at it, the West Coast Conference has been a two-bid league for the last little while. Is BYU have a possibility, do you think, to making it in there?
I think it's a small possibility, but if I was them, I would take it upon ourselves that we're not, if we win the rest of our games, even if we beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga, we're not going to get in. They need to have the attitude that we're going to go down to Vegas and win that tournament and earn our way in, and not worry about a bunch of people in a room deciding if we should get in or not. That would be my attitude. I think it's going to be really tough for them to make it on the merits of winning games. But that's what's great about college basketball. You still have a postseason tournament, 3 games that they can win, and they still can get in.
And I love that optimism. Greg Rubel sent out a tweet, I think it might have been yesterday, just talking about how no matter what, you still have hope as a basketball player at this time of the year, even if you've lost so many games, which BYU has. They've lost some critical games. But some good news coming out of Provo, I think, is this 5-year extension that Coach Rose has received. I know you're a fan of Coach Rose. That stability in the program, do you find that is a good thing, or would you like to maybe see some new blood in there?
No, that's a great thing. Coach Rose is perfect for BYU. And I think Coach Rose can coach anywhere in the country, to be frank with you. But he is absolutely perfect for BYU. And like I mentioned before, with the missions and people out there and so on and so forth, with the recruits coming in, there's a lot of LDS players who can play basketball. I mean, we have some great players now. And for them to see that Coach Rose is going to be there for another 5 years, so when they decide if they want to come to BYU, go on a mission and come home, and he'll still be there, that is just sending a great message to those mm-hmm. recruits and also to our fan base and everyone who supports BYU.
Jeff, we can never end an interview without asking you how your son's assimilating to BYU life. He's now been home from a mission how many months? Is it 6, 7 months that he's been home?
He got home April of last year, and, you know, the mission was very hard on him. He went to Taipei, Taiwan, mm-hmm. and as you probably know, there's not a lot of basketball courts there, so he didn't get to play or practice hardly at all, and it really took a toll on his body. So his body and his legs especially didn't respond the way that he wanted to, or the coaches or myself wanted to. So now he is 100%, and he's able to practice, and he's very happy that he's able to practice without any pain in his legs. He's just still working on conditioning to get back that way. So he's doing well and looking forward to next year.
Awesome. And what position do you think he'll be playing?
At this particular point, he just wants to play. So he'll mm-hmm. if he has to play the five, he'll play the five. but his position is point guard, but he just wants to play. He'll play whatever position they want him to do, one, two, or three.
We'll be looking forward to watching another Chapman tear it up in the Marriott Center. Jeff, as always, it's our pleasure to have you on with us. We appreciate your time. We know it's valuable, and we hope to do it again soon. And we hope to see BYU go to the big dance, because I'm sure you'll be there cheering them on, brother.
And Jan, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Jan, you know, next year when Jordan's playing, and I want you to come to some games with me so you can hold me back of going after the WCC officials.
I got you. I might be right with you, though. That's the hard part.
He might be pushing you out of the way.
I might be joining forces with you, but I'll be right with you. If you want me there, I'll have your back at least.
You got to help me, because my wife doesn't like how I act at games when I go after officials, so you got to save my marriage.
Okay, I got you. If the marriage is on the line, I'll do whatever I can to save it. I got you.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, no problem. Jeff.